All right. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Optimistic Divorcees podcast. I'm Charisse.
And I'm Shari.
And we are two happily divorced women who are optimistic about life, but real about love.
All right.
So we're going to jump right into your favorite segment, I Do, I'm Done. And today, I want to say I'm done with spending hella money on stuff that I think is going to be fun and, you know, so full of culture. And then I get there and it's like,
wow, I could have had a V8.
So the most recent event that I spent money on, $60 for the immersive Van Gogh exhibition.
Experience or something like that. I think it is experience.
I thought it was exhibition, but whatever. I spent $60 on that crap to see these Van Gogh paintings
flash up on the wall
and, you know, make it into a little video or whatever.
With a seat cushion.
With a seat cushion
and
that we paid $60 for, and a poster that I'm probably never going to put up, and some expensive drinks that we got from the bar. I mean, it was fun to be there with my friends, but this is the second excursion like this that I spent all this money and I got there and I'm like, you know what, I could have had this $60 in my pocket. I could have tried a new restaurant with this money. So I'm done. Okay, I'm done. Unless somebody wants to take me on a date there and they pay for it, then it's all good.
Or unless there's something else fun, like, now this one I would try. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to spend my $60 on this. I think this one is really going to be worth it.
Only to be disappointed yet again.
Third time might be the charm.
That's true. But I don't know. I might not see. So.
Right. Okay, well, now that we've heard Charisse's, I'm going to say I do, or maybe you should be I'm done. Okay, I think I'm going to go with an I'm done too. I'm done with being single. And I say that because over the weekend, I had a car accident. It was not my fault.
Let's just put that out there.
Yeah, let's
first.
Just put that out there. Okay, it was not my fault. It was kind of scary, but anyway, you know how after you have an accident, you have to go through, you know, the whole rigmarole of calling the cops, call the insurance, call this, do that. So I needed to have my car towed, and I'm trying to figure out. I think I was kind of like shook up a little bit and just kind of all over the place. I'm like, what do I need to do next? And I'm like, I don't have any guy to call. You know what I mean? And it sucks. So all of y'all that are married out there that's right, listening to this podcast, and y'all want to complain about your husbands and what he ain't doing, be glad you got one.
Right.
But you can call just in case you're in an accident. He can tell you where to take your car or come pick you up when you can't drive your car. Okay, I'm getting wrapped
up. But that's
up.
Okay, how Boo Charisse came through.
My ride or die. Came through for me as always. Oh, we thank God. My key dada. Me and you was never part.
You know what? So F having a husband.
Now, wait a minute now. Wait.
I'm going too far.
Taking it too far. We gonna get that man. We need somebody to call in the future. Give you a break.
Right.
Anywho, I mean, I'm glad that we can laugh about it now, but that's what I'm saying. I'm done too this week. On that note, stay tuned because we have a really great guest coming up and you don't want to miss it.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Optimistic Divorcees podcast. If you have topic suggestions or would like to be a guest, send us an email at theoptimisticdivorcespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not already, make sure to follow us online at The Opt Divorcees on Instagram and The Optimistic Divorcees on Facebook. To sign up for our email list, you can use the link in our Instagram bio or check out the show notes.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here with our special, special guest, Rochelle Gapare. We know her via our wonderful friend, Faith, and our fellow podcaster. We met her years ago. My first time meeting Rochelle was actually on a girls' trip where I didn't know anybody but one other girl. And everybody welcomed me with open arms. Rochelle was down to earth and nice, and she's just a lovely person, and we're happy to have her. She is an attorney. She is a happiness coach. Okay, she's an author. So, Rochelle, can you tell us a little bit about what that means to be a happiness coach?
So a happiness coach, most people are familiar with what a life coach is. First of all, thank you ladies for having me here. I am honored and I'm just grateful to share this space. So a happiness coach, similar to what a life coach does, but my focus is really helping people overcome the blocks and the hurdles to maximize their joy, maximize their happiness in life. I think so many of us are stuck in just existing and just living life in just this very monotonous way. And I'm here to say and to teach and to help and to coach you into living your best, most amazing, fulfilling life. You know, it's one thing to just be alive and be okay, but it's another thing to flourish and thrive and wake up every day excited about the possibilities that life has to offer.
And y'all, Rochelle practices what she preaches, okay?
I try.
She's not out Listen. Here to teach you how to be happy and live your best life, and she's not doing it herself. She is doing the doggone thing, okay?
Thank
That's
you.
That's so true. Every time I'm on Instagram and I see Rochelle out and about somewhere, and I'm not talking about out and about like in her neighborhood. I'm talking about out and about in the world. Okay.
Yep. Traveling is one of my favorite things.
Listen, I love it. When I see it, I'm like, I want to be like Rochelle when I grow up.
Right.
I love it. You can be like me when you grow up. You just have to be intentional about it. Yes. And we're going to talk more about that later for sure. Yes.
And even when she's in her neighborhood, she's living her best life in the neighborhood. Like, oh my God. Okay. I'm walking down the street. This is the greatest day ever.
But you know what? It's so funny because I look on every day as an adventure. So that's the thing. Most people just wake up and they're just existing. I can walk to Whole Foods and I get excited about who I may meet at Whole Foods. I'm like, I may meet new people at Whole Foods today. And so, you know, one of the prayers that I say every single morning is, Lord, please surprise me. And I'm open. And so he does surprise me because I got into my days expecting something new. So I am always willing to go to new environments, new places. If people invite me out, I will go. I'll strike up conversations with random strangers because I believe everybody has something to teach you. And so what I just wake up and I exist in a state of, okay, what new thing can I learn today? So I don't get bored. And so people think, oh, it's because I go here or go to the Bahamas or whatever, but literally right here in my backyard, I will see somebody walking their dog. I'm like playing with the dog. Hey, what's the dog's name? So, you know, I just realized that it is such a blessing to be alive that I try to cherish each moment as best as possible. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's awesome.
And you know what? So Charisse mentioned that Rochelle is an author. And so she wrote a book called One Happy Thought at a Time. And I purchased the book when it came out. And I actually need to purchase another one because my first book is in storage. And I literally am like, dang, I need to.
I'm going to mail you one. I'm going to sign one and mail it to you.
Thank you. I would appreciate that.
I'll do it tomorrow.
One thing for sure that I got from your book and also from your Instagram post is that prayer that you mentioned. Like, Lord, surprise me. I pray that at least 3 to 5 times out of the week, you know, good. And every time I prayed it, like, God really does show up and surprise me in some form or fashion.
Yep, it so works.
I love that. I love it. I absolutely love it. So one of the reasons that we wanted to have Rochelle on the show this month is because, of course, you know, Mother's Day happened a couple of weeks ago, and Rochelle has her own journey to motherhood. But before we get into that, I want to talk about her story. So hopefully Rochelle will share a little bit of her story, and then that's going to kind of go into the question that I wanted to ask. So Rochelle, share a little bit of your story, and then we'll jump right on in.
So, I'm now 40 years old, which I'm so happy that I've lived to see 40 years. So my story is very varied, but I know what you're speaking about specifically is the journey to getting to this happiness coaching, writing the book. And so I'll be completely candid, like, for so much of my life, I just had a winning streak. You know, I said that in the most humble way possible. I had a winning streak. I had a 3-year plan, 5-year plan, 10-year plan. Every single plan I had worked out in my favor, right? Until it didn't. And so I was in a long-term relationship, and I'd been dating him for maybe 5 years at the time. And I remember I moved in for 6 months, you know, we lived together for 6 months. And once I moved in, I just felt like the energy was just off, right? The last 2 months of living together, I was certain that it wasn't the right person for me, but I was so overcome by the fear of failure, because when you are so used to quote unquote winning, that will cripple you. You don't even want to try new things because you're like, well, and I didn't realize this at that time. That was all subconscious. But okay, I always win. How am I going to fail at this? A relationship. I'm 35. I should be getting married. I've invested this much time in this man. What now? And so I went on a spiral of, you know, just not feeling myself. 2 months of my life just being in such an unhappy space, feeling just so confused about how I got there. And, you know, we have a way of beating ourselves up, thinking that we have to have everything figured out. I know I felt that way, right? And so after a couple of days of just being there, my happiness scores, I always ask people, how happy are you on a scale of 1 to 10? And for me, I existed in 8 to 10. But for that time, I was a 4, I was a 5. And I would wake up in the morning and literally look in the roof of the house and say, how did my life get here? How did I get here? Like, this is not even who I imagined myself to be. And so rather than stay and wallow in the self-pity and, oh my God, you know, I failed, I just decided, you know, I am in charge of my happiness. I am in charge of my life, and nobody's coming to save me. And so I just started every single day committing to doing one thing that could make me happy. And so eventually I walked away from that relationship. And let me tell you, it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Even to this day, it's still the hardest thing, because it is hard when you have a dream and you have this picture of this incredible life with this person. And then it just blew up in my face. And out of nowhere, it blew up in my face. And remember, I'm the girl who I told you with all these plans that always work. A big part of it was ego, thinking, how could this happen to me? Why me? And then eventually I was just like, why not me? Why not me? I'm 35 years old. If this is my first heartbreak, hallelujah. You know, thank you, Lord. You know, I started having perspective, you know? And so that season of my life, it was the hardest season of my life, but it showed me that I was way more emotionally resilient than I'd ever given myself credit for. You don't know how strong you are until you go through a trial that tests everything you believe about yourself. And I'd always believed I'm an optimistic person. I'm a faithful person. I know that all things work together for good, because that's my favorite Bible verse, Romans 8:28. So I was just like, well, it's easy to say that when all the things are going good. So are all the things working together for good when this shit hit the fan? Well, let's see. Yes. So that was it. That was the test. So having gone through that season, a lot of people knew us as a couple in Miami, and they would see me and they would look at me with such pity, like, are you okay? And I'm like, hello. I mean, one area of my life being bad doesn't mean my entire life is bad. It's just one area. I'm still healthy. I still have my mom. I still have my family who adores and loves me. I still have my friends who support me. I still have a great job. And so I just really shifted my perspective, because it's easy for us to focus on all the things that are going wrong in our lives rather than focusing on all the things that are going well. And I just started channeling my energy in that direction. And lo and behold, through that season, people would say to me, whoa, your outlook is refreshing. You should write a book about it. And I was like, I should? Doesn't everybody think this way? And they're like, no, not really. So I, you know, at least maybe seven people said that to me, and I had an aha moment, and I knew I was going to write a book one day. I just didn't know about what. And it was a perfect storm. I started feeling a little bit like bored at work. I went to my job and I was like, I need time off. I need to just figure myself out. And, you know, this is the first time in my life where I just really don't know what's going on. And my boss, that God bless her, she extended grace to me, because I was vulnerable. You know, you have to be vulnerable with your life. If I'd gone in there, oh, I have everything sorted out, I'm a winner, then I wouldn't have ever gotten where I needed to go. But I literally went to her and I had a meeting and I had a come to Jesus moment where I was like, lady, I need 5 weeks unpaid leave off. I don't care what you tell me, I'm taking it, right? And I just poured my heart out, and it worked out. I ended up taking 7 weeks off. I went off to Oxford on a sabbatical that I called Robatical, started writing my book. I was so intrigued and curious about why I had that optimistic outlook over something that I know has devastated so many people. I started studying the science of happiness. And so that's how the happiness coaching came about. I wrote the book. I published the book the following year. It became an Amazon bestseller, and the rest is history.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, I look on that season of my life, and it was the hardest season, but it really helped me uncover my purpose, which I know for sure I'm living my purpose. Law, I enjoy it, but it's not my calling. I just didn't know what else I would do at that point. And yeah, you know, it's just been such a journey, and I'm just so happy that I was brave and allowed myself to fail, and not only to fail forward. And failure is not a bad thing. You know, you fail and you pivot and you learn more about yourself and you regroup. And, you know, who said that life has to always go exactly as we plan? And my life right now is much better than it was 5 years ago when I was in that relationship wondering, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? Yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I'm Dana, aka DanaMike781, across the social medias, and I am here to tell you about my podcast that is currently streaming on your favorite listening platform. It's called This Should Be in a Book. People often tell me that the things I say should be in a book, but I didn't want to write a book. So I decided to release my knowledge podcast style. New episodes are available every Monday, and you'll be able to listen to my insight on this thing called life, 3 points into poem style. Minus the poem. So after you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to This Should Be in a Book to listen and subscribe. Hope you enjoy.
And that's exactly why I wanted you to talk about your story, because, you know, when it comes to motherhood and in our case, divorce, specifically, like even in my case, like I'm divorced, 40 plus, no children. And it's like, this isn't how I thought my life would be. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I just love your outlook on life and your perspective. And that's one of the things that I wanted us to talk about, you know, just getting past the thought of, this is how I expected my life to go, or, you know, my life didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. How do I move past it? And I know, you know, on your journey to motherhood, that's something that you've had to face head on too. You know? So if you can talk a little bit about that whole journey for you.
So let me just interject right here and just say something really quickly. So what has happened is that, especially women, society has given us this blueprint of this life that we're supposed to have. You're supposed to be married at 25. You're supposed to have children at 30. But who said that? All of us, there are 7.5 billion people on this earth. So to believe that all of us would be doing the exact same thing at the exact same time is ridiculous. It's like if every plant bloomed at the same time. No, you know, there's harvest time, there's planting time. You know, you sow, you reap. And so there's a season for everything under the sun. And I think once we start breaking out of that mold of believing that your life has to look like everybody else's, it literally liberates you. Because if you stop and you think and you're like, I really had to question myself. I said, do I really want to get married? And then I asked myself, and I did this with my clients, 7 layers of why. Why do I want to get married? Oh, because, you know, I'm 30 and I should want to get married. Okay, but who said you should get married? Why do you want to get married? And you just keep asking yourself why, and digging down. And so the answer has to make sense to you. You know, by the time you get to the 7th why, if it doesn't make sense, then you're like, am I really doing this for myself? Or am I doing this because somebody else expects this of me? Right?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I had to come to terms with that. And so I realized that I enjoy and I love my life. I love my freedom. And of course, I would love partnership and I'd love companionship. But I also knew I was unwilling to compromise my peace of mind just to have a body in my bed. I would not do that.
Yes.
I would rather be alone than be with somebody who is not adding anything good to me. And I think about it, I'm like, when I talk to you girls, I light up. When I talk to my friends and my uncles who love me and my mom and, you know, all the people in my life who love me and pour into me, they make me feel good. And so that's how I identify love. And so if I'm with a partner who is not adding that to me, then it just doesn't make sense. It's not reconciling for me, with my spirit, you know? So,
Rochelle, okay?
Yeah, I really had to lay that groundwork first. And so based on that, I remember after I moved out of my ex's house, I was just like, I want to be a mom. Okay, you're 35, you should want to be a mom, blah, blah, blah. But what really solidified it for me is that I lived with my best friend and my 2 god kids for a little bit to figure out where I was going to go next and what I was going to do. I thought I maybe would move from Miami. And at that time, my godson was 1 and my goddaughter was 9. And ladies, when I tell you the joy that those 2 children brought me, it just, I mean, I always say I had like the best breakup situation ever. I was overly loved. It was so amazing. I remember I used to be at happy hour, like I am the happy hour queen. I'd be going to happy hour. And my friends would ask me, hey, are you going to happy hour? And I'm like, no, I need to go home because I need to be with the god kids. Like I would be at work looking forward to going home to see them.
Wow.
Oh, that they were your happy hour.
Yes, they brought me so much joy. And I was just like, if children that I didn't birth could give me that feeling of just fulfillment and happiness and that unconditional love, then I knew I wanted to be a mom one day. So that was my why. After I asked myself all the whys and the whys. And so my aunt is a very wise person. And she once said to me, Rochelle, make decisions with the information that you have in front of you in the present moment. And at 38 years old, the decision that I had to make in the present moment was that I was 38 years old, I was single, and I knew there were options available to me, which were freezing my eggs, or, I mean, I could have adopted at that time, but I wasn't at the point yet where I was ready to necessarily be a mom. I just knew I wanted to preserve the options to be a mom.
Yes.
And as luck would have it, I went to visit my dermatologist, and she's a little bit older. Well, yeah, she's now like about 46, 47, and she had just had a baby. And I asked her, and remember, I told you guys how I'm curious and I make conversations with people.
Yeah.
You never know who is going to bless you with a gift. And I remember when I went to her office, I said, can I ask you something? I don't want to be invasive or intrusive. And if you don't feel like sharing, you don't have to. I said, I know you just had a baby. I'm so happy for you. Was it natural? And she said, girl, feel free to ask me anything. And then she said to me, how old are you again? I said, 38. She said, you need to go and freeze your eggs. She literally said, I froze my eggs at 40 years old. I froze 4 eggs and one of those eggs was Babel and ended up being her son today, right? And so she planted that seed, and she said at minimum I needed to do an AMH test. And I had no clue what an AMH test was. I go to the gynecologist every single year as my birthday present to myself, and I've never heard about this AMH test. My dermatologist had to tell me about it. I literally walked out of her office, called my OBGYN and said, I need an AMH test. You need to, and they called it in. I went, it's a simple blood test to determine your ovarian reserves, right? I did that test, and maybe like 2 weeks later, and I tell you ladies, the universe conspires. Once you start putting your energy behind something, it's amazing how things just start falling into place. So 2 weeks later, I was randomly out and about, and one of my friends said, oh, I'm heading over to Barbados to freeze my eggs. And I'm like, tell me more, you know? And so that was how the seed was planted. And she's a CPA. She is very, very thorough. And I was like, well, if she says this place is good, I don't need to know. I don't need to even go anywhere else. Right. And so by then, I had a meeting with the fertility doctor because I, you know, one thing about it too, I will say to people, a lot of times we ask God for signs and he gives us signs in different ways. And we don't believe that that's a sign because we think it should come in the way we expect. And then we just sit down on the information. No, no, no. My doctor, I remember I said, my doctor told me one in a afternoon, and I literally called the same afternoon for that AMH test. 2 weeks later, my friend, I saw her. I literally made an appointment with the clinic. Maybe 2 days later, I wasn't waiting. I just said, okay, Lord, what are the odds that all of these things are just falling into my lap like this? And so, yeah, you know, I spoke to them. And the thing that really resonated with me is that the fertility doctor said, now my ovarian reserves, you know, the levels were high, and she didn't doubt that I'd be able to have a baby naturally into my early 40s. But she said, if you want your children to have siblings, then this probably would be a good idea for you. And I was sold. I'm the only child. And I thought about it, just like, well, I could, at that time I was 38. I was like, all right, if I have a baby at 39, 40, 41, fine. But what happens if I really do want to have siblings for my children, for my child? I could use my 38-year-old frozen eggs. And so it's about just, I think as Black women, we need to just open our mind to the possibilities. There is nothing that is unattainable for us. But what happens is that it's a lack of information. And it's not even a lack of information because the information is out there. It's just a lack of going to research it for yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? A lot of times we're like, oh, well, you know, how am I going to afford this thing? So I went off to Barbados. I used it as a vacation, writing trip, freezing my eggs. And one of my friends who had also suggested, you know, freezing her eggs, she did it here. Her process was about $14,000. And I'm being completely candid here. Mine with my medication and my egg freezing was $7,000. And I got a vacation.
Half the cost.
Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying.
Vacation.
Seek out knowledge. There are so many different avenues to getting your goals and your dreams fulfilled. But that's why I said, get off of the program of what the world and society is telling you to do. Because once you liberate your mind and start thinking outside of that box, you can start coming up with different ideas for yourself, right? Which is what I did. Like, if I had subscribed to, oh my God, I have to have a baby at 35, I would have stayed with my boyfriend. And I would have had a baby, and then we'd be miserable. And, you know, we'd probably be divorced by now, if you see what I'm saying. But I decided that my peace of mind was more important to me. But then I also realized that being a mom is important to me. So how could I have those two things? And now I do. I have the peace of mind that I will find a man who's going to be complimentary to me one day. But I also have the peace of mind that I've preserved my options to motherhood.
Yeah.
When you came to this decision and you started sharing with people, did you face any negativity? Like, girl, who does that?
No, you know, interestingly enough, my aunt is a physician, the same one who I said, you know, gave me that advice earlier. And she would just keep saying to me, have you frozen your eggs yet? Have you frozen your eggs yet? Like, you need to do it. You need to do it. And because it was COVID, you know, they kept pushing it back. Like, Barbados was closed. And, you know, of course, a lot of medical facilities were only dealing with emergency situations. And so everybody was supportive. My mom was extremely supportive. You know, what it is that also you have to be very careful about who you share information with. So I would, I only would share that with people who I knew could edify me. You know, people who could, you know, like uplift and enhance the whole situation. I wasn't going to share it with Debbie Downers or negative Nancy's. And that goes across the board with any area of our lives. We should be very protective of who we share our dreams or goals and our desires with, because people can really, and it's not that they mean it in a bad way, but people give advice from their level of experience. And so I chose to speak to people like my friend who had gone before me and done it and was successful. And then my friend who did it like about a month before, the one who I said paid the $14,000. And then I spoke to my mom, I spoke to my aunt, and we just all were on the same page about, you know, Rochelle, you're now 39 years old, because by then I was 39. We're in the middle of a pandemic. The odds of you just going out and meeting somebody are now slimmer. And so why not, you know? And really, I use my whole travel budget. You know, I just rearrange my funds. The money I've been spending running around the world last year, I was like, I'm going to use it to freeze my eggs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just repurpose my funds. But you will find the resources to do what's important for you. Important to you. I always say that. You will find it, right? And so I'll be completely just honest with you, ladies. The peace that I have from freezing my eggs, it's unquantifiable. I turned 40 in March, and I know had I not done that, I would have had some anxiety around, oh my God, now I'm 40. Okay, now what's going to happen? I'm single. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And to be completely candid, I was actually talking to a guy during that time, and I remember like he did something and I was just like, no, I don't believe that we're mutually aligned. And I felt confident making that decision because I was like, I have my eggs. You're not going to pressure me into feeling like I have to be with the one last man standing because, right. You know, like, no, I'm like, okay, it's okay. We're not mutually aligned. I respect your opinion. You respect mine, but we are just not on the same page. He went his way. I went my way. But I know if I didn't have my ex, because 35, when I was leaving that relationship, that was the main thing that had me stuck. What's going to happen? I'm 35. Oh my God, how am I going to have kids? You know, what's going to happen now? And so I just chose to empower myself.
I really I just love the story and, you know, of your journey to where you are right now. And, you not being concerned about what people had to say, you know, about what you chose to do for yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's such a blessing to have people around you who would be positive, you know, because it's mm-hmm. such a sensitive topic. Subject. And yeah, it's yeah. so sensitive, yeah. especially, you know, there's so many, you know, women who want to have children who for some reason can't have children. And then it's like you take that and stack that with all the negativity or the questions that come with, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you do that? And what, you know, so it's just like that peace of mind that you have, not only to be able to, you know, freeze your eggs, but the peace of mind that comes from having supportive people in your circle. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's such a huge part of that as well.
Important. It's important. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We are the sum of the five people we spend the most time with. You know, I always mm-hmm. say that, you know, we are the sum of the people. So go in your phone, look on your WhatsApp, look on your text, look on your call log. Are those people making you feel good about yourself? Are they adding to your life? Are you having a mutual exchange of good energy? Or are these people just sucking you dry? Because that makes all the difference in the world. You know, I'll give you a statistic right now. As human beings, we have on average like 60,000 thoughts a day. Out of those 60,000 thoughts, 80% of the thoughts are negative. And 95% of those thoughts are repetitive thoughts. And what I'm saying this to you is, you alone by yourself are already thinking all these negative things. So you don't need four more people in your life adding to the negativity. You just don't. Right? Isn't that jarring? You're like, oh my God, I'm thinking. And most of the thoughts that we're thinking are negative. And then what is even crazier is the fact that 95% of the thoughts are repetitive. So you're just thinking the same thing over and over and over and over again every single day. Mm. When you really and truly track it, it's true. You'll just sit there and you're like, okay, I need a job. The next day, oh God, I don't have a job. 2 weeks from now, oh Lord, I still don't have no job. And when you start thinking about it, you're like, oh my God, I really do think about the same thing. Right? So you really have to be so conscious about what you're thinking. You have to preserve your thoughts, but then you also have to be mindful of who you are having, you know, who you surround yourself with, because they are also adding to what you are thinking or what you are doing and your behavior. So let me tell you, that's why I said, you know, earlier when you're like, oh, she does it. I said, no, I try, because it's a daily practice. Yeah. Like, you have to wake up every day and renew your mind. Like, you have to wake up every day and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because that 95% repetitive will just keep you stuck. And so it takes, you know, I always, which is why when I'm dating or when I hear clients or my friends talk about people, you know, that they're dating, I said, think about how hard it is for you to change yourself and change your habits. Okay, then why do you believe that that man is just going to miraculously change, and he's not doing any work, he's not going to therapy, he's not reading no books, he just going to randomly miraculously change? No, he's not.
Keep it he's real. Just not.
It's the truth. It is. When people show you who they are, believe them the first time. The first time. That's Maya Angelou. The first time. I would have saved myself so much emotional turmoil had I believed the first time.
First time.
But yet here we are. And we're grateful for the lessons, because they've made us better.
Every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Chad.
Every time.
Tune in to the Faith Over Everything podcast, which covers literally everything, whether it's pop culture, religion, politics, relationships, fashion and beauty, entertainment, Black culture. We are talking about it all. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode available for your listening pleasure on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. Also, feel free to follow us on the following pages. Instagram is faithovereverything_podcast, or on Facebook, the page is Faith Over Everything. Thank you for tuning in.
I was going to say that I saw that you had shared that when you went to Barbados and, you know, you had the procedure done, that you were also able to share your story. Who was it? Was it with the Washington Post?
So the Washington Post is so interesting. Like, the day before I actually had my procedure, and this is just such a good example of not taking no for an answer, because I had hashtag my journey, this young lady, a journalist, reached out to me and she said, oh, can I interview you for your story? And I said, okay, sure, you know, but you could do it in 2 days after my procedure. And she said, oh no, you know, I have a deadline, please, you know, whatever. And I was just like, I love how persistent she was. And so how many times we get no and we just stop there, you know? Mm-hmm. And because she was so persistent, but she was also pleasant and she had manners, I was like, you know what, let me do it. And we as on my way to have dinner, it was my dinner, you know, like my little fun dinner before I did the procedure the next day. And she interviewed me. I was in the car and she wrote the story, and the story literally took on a life of its own. And so, yeah, that's how it came about, randomly on Instagram. Remember, I always said, Lord, please surprise me. Well, that was a surprise. Yeah. And so I was willing, you know, I shared the journey on Instagram and on my social media feeds. And I was also willing to do that interview because I just believe that there, and now I know it to be true, that there's so many women who just want permission to do something different. And sometimes they just need to see somebody who looks like them in order for them to just take the next step. And so, ladies, I'll be honest, I've had at least 4 women since that time go and freeze the eggs.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, they have DM'd me and told me everything. They're all comes, and I'm like, oh my God. Because yes, you know, when you do something, I'm thinking, all right, I want to inspire, but to see that, you know, it really impacted people in a way where they actually went and they did it. You know, it really just made me so happy and so grateful that I shared it. You know, I always, you know, I'm a big advocate of sharing your story and your testimony. I just believe that when we stand in our truth, we liberate others to do the same.
Yes.
And so, you know, none of us are going through anything that somebody else hasn't gone through before. Let's just be clear. There are millions of women who have gone through divorce and have transform their lives and are now living happier lives than they ever could have imagined, right? Yes. And so there's a woman who may have gone through abuse or miscarriage or, you know, just their life is hard. It gets so hard sometimes, but people are also very resilient. And so sometimes you just need somebody to say, listen, I was there 5 years ago and this is what I did. And if I could do it, you can too. And all of a sudden, you could just see the light in somebody's eyes, like, I can. And you're like, yeah, you can. And they just do it, you know? And so, which is why I appreciate that you ladies are doing this in this platform as two women who have gone through divorce to share and empower people through your story and interviewing different guests, because women really need this space. You know, a lot of times we have so much shame about failure because we attach ourselves to a lot of titles, a girlfriend, a mom, a wife. But okay, ex-girlfriend is just as good. Ex-wife, great.
Right.
You know, who are you before you were all those things? I am Rochelle. I will always be Rochelle till I die. Whether I'm a mom, whether I am a daughter, whatever it is, I am at the soul, at the core, me. And so nothing else is really going to change that. Like, I have to own that. And that's the most important title I can ever have, is to be myself, right?
Yes.
And so I just believe that, you know, sometimes we have so much shame around what should have happened or what could have happened or why me? And, you know, once you get past it, I realize, first of all, most people aren't thinking about you because people are so caught up with their life. People are like, I wonder what they may think. They ain't thinking about you because they are busy wondering. They're busy having their 60,000 negative thoughts and they're worried about you. So if you are stuck on what you think other people are thinking, let me tell you right now, girl, they ain't thinking about you. So you need to just move on with your life and do what makes you happy. Really? Yes.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. A, forget what people think. B, they ain't thinking about you no way.
They ain't. They really aren't. I'm telling you, we are just barely trying to hold on for dear life, much less to be thinking about other people. I'm like, girl, I'm just trying to hold it all together, much less to be wondering if you divorce whoever or broke. I don't care. Are you happy? Are you safe? What can I do to help you get to the other side of the mountain? That's what I am concerned with, right? And so I think once we're just honest about that, and women, we have a way of just really holding things so close to herself, thinking you're the only one going through that thing. Yeah. No, you aren't. There are billions of women who have gone through the things that you've gone through. So you're not alone. God did not just do this one thing to you to punish you.
Right.
Like, he didn't. He didn't. You know, I had to get out of my head to like, but why me? Why me? And I'm like, girl, goodbye. Why not you? And then once I had that come to Jesus moment, I was just like, all right, now that I've gotten my ego out of it, what can I do to get myself to the next side, you know? And you don't have to have it all figured out. Listen, whoever is listening to this, even if tomorrow is the day that you just wake up and put on lipstick because you've been crying for 2 months and you haven't worn any lipstick, put on lipstick. That's the win for tomorrow. Small wins.
Yes.
Yeah. Small wins give you the momentum for the big wins.
Yes,
that's it. You know, a lot of times we're thinking, oh, we're going to have it all figured out. No, girl, if yesterday you journal one paragraph, tomorrow journal two. That's the win. And that's it.
That's the win.
That's the win.
Perspective.
That's so good. It is. It's perspective and it's the small things. So I think sometimes we be so
quick to give up because, you know, oh, I'm supposed to do this and I only did this. But it's like, okay, that small thing, it's okay.
It's significant. Yeah. It's significant. Yeah. And if there are the days when you just wake up and just you're just alive that day, that was enough. You survived. Yeah. And that's sufficient. I mean, if there's anything that this pandemic has taught us, is how fragile and fleeting life is.
Yes.
And so just waking up is enough to celebrate. I'm like, okay, you know, I have this thing that I have, I do it in my workshops, and it's three good things. Every single day you have to find three good things. So you wake up in the morning and you're going throughout your day looking for the three good things. And why I give this exercise is that we're so used to thinking about the worst case scenario. I'm tired. I'm this. I'm that. But I like to say get an accountability partner. So Cherise could be your Shari. Mm-hmm. And let's say 3 days a week, you check in. Hey, girl, what were your three good things today? And so because you have to look for those three good things, you are now reprogramming your mind to the positivity as opposed to the negative thoughts that I just spoke about. And yeah. So some days it very well is I woke up and I lived through the day. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And it is a great thing. Because tomorrow is another day and you get to do it again. But the good thing could be, oh, you know, I smiled at the cute guy on R5 in Winn-Dixie. That's a good thing. You know what I mean? Or I did a 30-minute workout. That's a good thing. I did my gratitude practice. That's a good thing. I folded all my laundry as soon as they were dry. That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Start celebrating everything in your life. Like, you know, we're always thinking, oh, I wait to celebrate 40. And then I go, no. I just be celebrating. I just be like, let me celebrate something today. I'm like, girl, you know, took a shower before noon. Celebrate.
And Shari and I can actually testify to that because we did mm-hmm. do like a social media project, if you will, where we highlighted every day. It started as 100 days of happiness.
I saw that.
Extended it to the year. So mm-hmm. like you said, it does force you to find something every day that's good, that makes you happy. And
yeah,
sometimes surprise yourself like, wow, I found something. It seemed to be a crappy day, but mm-hmm. there was something good.
Exactly.
And sometimes the only thing is I woke up today.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes the only thing is that enough. I survived. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the only thing is, listen, I survived. My lungs are working. My heart is beating. I still have my vision. I have toothpaste to brush my teeth. That's mm-hmm. enough. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, we have to get into the habit of just really just looking for the glimmers and the silver linings, because listen, life can get hard and it is so easy to really just get bogged down. And which is why, you know, when I started, my thing is not just barely existing. It's not just, how are you? I'm fine. No, you could be great.
You
could be fantastic. And there'll be times that may not be great or fantastic, but how about savoring the times that that it is? Yeah.
It's so crazy absolutely. That you said fantastic, because a lot of times when people ask me how I'm doing, I say fantastic. I don't necessarily always feel that way.
Yeah.
I feel like if I keep saying it, it's going to be.
Our words have power. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we have to be so, you know, conscious of the things that we're saying. But it's just like, why not thrive? You know, why not you to be happy? Why not you to be healthy? Why not you to wake up filled with purpose every day? Other people do it. You're no different from them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But why not strive for that? You know? And so it's so easy to just be in one season and be thinking, okay, what's next? And not really just enjoy the present moment, which is all we really have, right? And so once you start just rewiring your brain to positivity, living in the present and just being truly grateful for your portion, your life really just unleashes, you know? You'll be surprised how all of a sudden you just have this new lease on life and you wake up excited about the possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been awesome, and I feel like we killed 10 birds with one stone on this episode. So,
right, I feel many. Like if you don't leave inspired,
right,
something is wrong.
There were so many gems dropped. I feel so inspired.
Thank you.
this.
You guys
this
brought the energy too, so thank you, ladies.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like this is an episode that people can save and come back and listen to. Like, okay,
absolutely,
this is what I need to do. This is the pick me up I need. This is what I need to say. How I need to think. But before mm-hmm. we close, I do have one more question.
Sure.
Would you mind maybe sharing a little bit about what the freezing eggs procedure entails?
Okay, so for every woman, of course, it's different, but meaning it follows a similar course, but you may have different days of injections, right? And so I ended up, well, for one, I would suggest anybody who is wanting to freeze their eggs to start taking their prenatal vitamins. I've been taking mine. I started taking mine like at least a year before. Well, to be fair, remember my procedure kept being delayed. So mm-hmm. as soon as my dermatologist mentioned it to me, I just started taking prenatals. So that was one thing I started. And then leading up to the time, you have to take injections, you know, to stimulate your follicles. And your medicine is based on, of course, your blood work and your ovarian reserves, the levels, and all that scientific stuff. And okay. so for 8 days, I had to inject myself. And I'm not afraid of needles. I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, you had to inject yourself. That part was not hard for me at all. And my whole process was very seamless. And I want to tell women, do not compare yourself or your journey to somebody else's. I, you know, going into it, I heard, oh, the hormones can make you moody or emotional. And, you know, just a whole bunch of things. I refused to read a lot of information about it because I didn't want to overwhelm myself. So I would inject myself every night at about 6:30 for 8 days. During that time, I had 2 ultrasounds where my fertility specialist would measure the size of my follicles because they have to get the eggs at the right time. Like they don't want it to be overly mature or under, right? Okay. And so I went in and I had to do my ultrasound, similar to a regular ultrasound, you know, like a regular ultrasound that you do for any other, I guess, doctor visit, right? Mm-hmm. Vaginal ultrasound. And then, on the day of the procedure, well, the night before, I believe it was like 24 hours before, I had a trigger shot, which would then really stimulate my follicles. And then I went in and it was maybe like a 15-minute procedure. They put you under anesthesia, but not like deep anesthesia, but I was knocked out. And then they use like a little, I guess what we call it, like faucets or something, the little fort thing. I don't know mm-hmm. what you call it, the faucets or whatever. And they go in and they take out the eggs out of your ovaries. They just take out the eggs. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I think how many I had? I had 24 eggs. I believe 24, 23, oh, wow. but 19 were healthy. So I froze 19 okay. eggs, which was that's a lot for my healthy. Age. Yeah. They were very... Amazing. They were very happy with my outcome. And I will say to a lot of women, you know, that's why sometimes you just have to go and seek information, because going into it, you know, a lot of times they'll be like, oh, after 35, you know, your eggs, you know, deplete. And I mean, everybody's body is different. But sometimes if I were to sit and think, okay, well, now I'm 38, 39, it doesn't make sense for me to freeze my eggs. I may not have any eggs. Then I wouldn't have frozen the 19 eggs. You get what I'm saying? You don't know what you don't know till you find out.
Yeah.
So don't allow, like, go and seek the information, seek the knowledge, and then make the decision. But don't talk yourself out of the opportunity because of what science or the magazine or the article said. If I had done that, I would have just been like, all right, not freezing my eggs. And I just may sit around and just wait until this miraculous unicorn finds me. Right? But yeah, so my doctor was very, very pleased with the outcome. And let me be clear, like, you could be 28 and have low ovarian reserves. Mm-hmm. So I suggest that every woman, as when you turn 30, why not just go and do the AMHS? Just figure out what your situation is so you could equip yourself with knowledge to make the best decisions for yourself going forward. But I didn't have any sickness. I didn't have any side effects. I will say that the morning of... after my retrieval process, I went to sleep without taking my pain medicine because I was just like, oh, I feel perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Ladies, Let me tell you something. I woke up at 5 o'clock that morning to go to the bathroom, to use the bathroom. I went back in my bed. The pain that I felt, I literally thought I was going to die. I felt like the eggs were just falling on my body. I was like, what is going on? I felt like my whole thing got... But then my nurse, she called me in the morning and she asked me how I was doing. And I told her, I was like, oh my God, I was just in so much pain. I had so much cramping. And she was like, no, you are supposed to take your medicine, your pain medicine every 3 hours. Like, I don't care if you have to wake up and take it, you have to take it. So I was just like, oh, I didn't do that. So even then, like maybe like an hour after I'd taken the medicine, when I went back in bed, the pain subsided. So that was the only thing that really was my, oh my God moment. But yeah, you know, had I taken the pain medicine before I went to sleep, that wouldn't have happened. But from that point on, I was good. Yeah. Wow. It was fine. You know, about 3 days after, I felt completely like myself again. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Like no cramping or no, you know, like no, you know, like pain or discomfort in my ovaries, because your ovaries are swollen. So they have to take some time to, like, you know, get back to its normal, size.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, so you know.
Okay. I will also say one more, because I know we have to wrap up. There are different paths to motherhood. You could be, you could have a donor egg. You could adopt a child. You could foster a child. There are so many children out there who want to be loved and nurtured. And I have a friend who was adopted, and you would have never known any difference from how her mom adores, treats her, than my mom adores and treats me. Children just want to be loved and nurtured and just made to feel special. So, you know, that's why I'm always like, option B, option A may not work, but you have option B and you have every other letter in the alphabet. You have option W, option Q, option R. Like, who said it only has to be option A? You know what I mean? Right. And so you don't have to just be like, oh, well, I didn't carry the baby myself, so no, I can't be a mom. You can be a mom. Like, why can't you? Shonda Rhimes is a mom. She said yes to adopting her daughters, and she's obsessed. Yes. In love with them, which she should be, right? You don't have to carry a child to be a mother. So just to put that out there, like, you don't have to go get pregnant for the 9 months and birth the baby. Great if it happens that way, wonderful. But there are also other ways to get to that space of being a mom and nurturing a child. So I had to say that for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you said that, because like you said, there's more than one way, more than one path, you know, to get to the destination that you want to get to.
Yeah. Exactly.
That women are reminded of that for sure.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, Rochelle, I mean, to be honest, we could talk to you like literally for another 2 hours.
I know. But that's fine. I'll come back. Whenever you want me to come back, I will gladly come back. I will put you on my calendar and make it happen.
Absolutely. Like, there's just so much we can talk about. And the energy that you bring, the insight, the perspective, it's always on time. So we will definitely make sure that you are back. So for those who are interested in following you, for those who are interested in picking up your book, please give them information for that.
So the book is available on Amazon.com, and I am available on all social media platforms as Rochelle Gepair, my first and last name. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn as Rochelle Gepair. So follow me. And I like DMs. I like to hear like what resonated most with you, or just share your takeaways. Yeah, I engage a lot with my social media followers. I love it. I learn so much from them every day.
Thank you for sharing that. And of course, we will make sure that all the information to follow Rochelle and to purchase her book is linked in the show notes. So you will definitely have it there as well. But in the meantime, girl, thank you so much again. We appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the inspiration. And yes, we cannot wait to have you back.
Oh, thanks, ladies. I had so much fun. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Blessings, blessings, blessings on blessings.
Oh, yes.
All right, guys. So if you want to follow me and Sharice, you can. You can follow me at Shari Lachelle on Instagram. That's Shari Lachelle. And Sharice?
is au naturel, and I'm not gonna spell it because I don't feel like it, but it'll be in the show notes.
Right, we'll put her in the show notes too, guys.
Yes. Okay. How's that for living outside the box and doing things on your terms? Yes. I love it.
Charisse has turned over a new leaf. She might not ever spell her name again on here.
Never.
That's fun.
All right, guys, on that note, good night, good afternoon, good morning. As our friend Dana says, or whenever you choose to listen.
Yes, have an amazing day.
Yes, we will see you next week.
Optimistic about life. Real about love. Ooh. See, I've been through it. Hard times in love, I admit it. But I won't quit. You better believe. See, I'll always try.